Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos, Daf Kuf Vav. We begin on Kuf Vav and Amud Aleph, 10 lines down from the top, a little bit below the two dots, 10 lines down from the top, Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. We begin with Bishnei de Rav Yosef. During the lifetime, during the years of Rav Yosef, have a Rizcha. The one time there was an anger in Shemayim. Rizcha, Rashi tells us, is Kas Shalmokam. HaKadosh Baruch was very angry at the Jewish people. Uba Rav Li'olam. And there was a famine in the entire world. So, Ami Lele Rabbanon, the Rav Yosef said, the Rabbanon came to Rav Yosef and said, Nu Davin for us, Libayim Mar Rachman. Go and ask HaKadosh Baruch to have mercy on us. Amalu, however, Rav Yosef told them, if Elisha didn't daven on behalf of Klai Yisrael, and he's a much bigger Rav than I was, so why should I daven on behalf of Klai Yisrael right now? Very strange conversation. So he tells him, Hashta Uma Elisha, Dichi Havu Rabbonim Miftre Mikamei, Havi Pashu Tre Alfun Amosad Rabbonon. When Elisha stopped giving the Shia, and the Rabbonim left him, the students all left, so he was still left behind with 2,000 Tre Alfun Umason and 200 Rabbanan that he personally supported and took care of. So at that time, Be'idon Rizcha, Lo Haviboy Rachmi, there was a famine at that time. HaKadosh Baruch was angry with the Jewish people, and nevertheless, Elisha didn't daven that the famine should go away. Even though he left so many Talmidim that he was supporting on his own personal way, nevertheless, he didn't go daven that the Rizcha should stop, that the Ace Rizcha, the anger that HaKadosh Baruch had, should stop and he should stop the famine. So how could I possibly do that? Oh no, myself, Yiboy Rachmi, I should go, Rav Yosef, I should go and daven on behalf of Klai Yisrael that the Rizcha should stop, that Hashem should stop the famine. If Elisha didn't do it, I don't have the right to go and do it. Now, Gemara is going to explain, how do we know that he had 2,200 Talmidim after the Shia was done, that he still was left behind and supporting? Where do we see this 2,200 students that Elisha was supporting? So it's based upon the pasuk that we had in yesterday's Shia, right before this, where it said, in yesterday's Shia, V'ish bo mi Baal Shalosh, Shalisha, there was a man who came from a place known as Baal Shalisha, and he came to Elisha, Elisha Lakim, and he brought him Lechem Bikurim, Esrim Lechem Saorim, the Charmel Bitsiklono, V'yomatemlo. So this is what Elisha said when the man brought him, we'll see 22 loaves in total, we'll see how we got that. So he said, go and distribute it to the people. So the next pasuk, the Mishares of Elisha says, how can I give them? That's not enough. Vayomer Misharso. So the servant of Elisha said, how can I possibly give such a small amount of food to feed 100 men? Now, what does it mean to feed 100 men? So Rashi explains that there were 20 loaves that he brought, so Ochle Shulchano, Tre Alofim Masayim, that he now was supporting 2,200 Talmidim, because this pasuk that we read from yesterday, that I just read now, was Esrim Lechem, and then it says that's 20 breads, V'lechem Bikurim, that makes it 21, and then it said V'charmel B'tziklonis, so then Hare Esrim B'tartin, it's 22. Now, these 22 breads he had to give out to 2,200 people, not 100 people like the pasuk seems to imply. My lifnei meya ish, it says he gave it out to 100 men. Elam, you're going to tell me that he gave the 22 breads to just 100 men. Elam, the kulu lifnei meya ish, that's not so terrible. B'shnei b'tzoris tuvavu. That's a lot of food in a famine to give 22 loaves of bread to 100 people, so that's manageable. So obviously it doesn't mean to just 100 people. Elo, the kol chad v'chad kamei meya ish. So he basically had to go and give one loaf of bread to each 100 people. So there were 22 loaves of bread, so that's 2,200 people. That's where we get this number that Elisha was supporting, and yet he didn't go and ask Hashem for rachman. Now the Gemara tells us, other rabbanim, how many talmidim they had. When the Talmidim left Rav's Shia, so Rav was left supporting, he supported 1,200 Rabbanan. Alpha is 1,000, Umasin is 200. When the Shia was over by Rav Huna, that were left behind, that Rav Huna was supporting, 800 Rabbanan. Rav Huna, Havidoresh B'tleis Amoraim, Rav Huna's Shia was so big that he had 13 Amoraim. Amoraim is the word that we use for a Meturgumon. The Rosh Hashiva would give the Shia in a smaller, quiet way, and then they'd have the Meturgumon, the interpreter, literally, but basically he would be the one who would broadcast the Shia out loud to everybody else. So he had 13 Meturgumons that he would go and distribute Mestama over the area where the Talmidim were listening to the Shia, and that's how big his Shia was. And Kiyapikaimi Rabbanan Mimasifta the Rav Huna, and when the rabbis would get up after the Shia was over, they left the Shia, so Vinovtse Glimimayu, so they would take off their cloaks, some were sitting on their cloaks, their Glima, and it would raise a huge cloud of dust. Havisolik avka v'chasi leil yoma. So this cloud of dust that would come when they brushed off their jackets or cloaks that they were sitting on, so this created such a cloud of dust that it covered up the sun. V'chasi leil yoma. You couldn't tell that it was daytime. There was such a dark, dusky dirt cloud. And in Eretz Yisrael, Be'amim Ma'arava, they said in Eretz Yisrael, Kamalei mimisifta de rafuna abav lo. They could see this dust cloud, according to the simple interpretation, they could see this dust cloud over all the way in Bavel. And they said, oh, the Shia for Rav Huna must be over. Some suggest that they really couldn't see this, but that whenever they would see a big dust cloud, they would say, oh, this is like the Shia that Rav Huna gave, and at the end of it, all this dust would be raised. Mark continues to tell us, when Rabbi Yosef would stop their Shia, so they were supporting a smaller number of Tamidim. They left behind in the Shia the 400 Tamidim, Abba Meir Rabbanan, that they had to support. And they said about themselves, the Karulin of Shayu, they said that they were Yasme, they were orphans compared to the 800 of Huna, the 1200 of Rab, and the 2200 of Elisha. Similarly, when the Tamidim left Abaya's Shia, so he was left with a certain number of Tamidim. Others say it wasn't Abaya. Family was Mibe Rapapa, it was Rapapa. And others say it was Amile, Mibe Ravashi. These were later Amorayim, and they had smaller numbers of Tamidim that they supported. Hebufaishi, Moss, and Rabbanim. They only had 200 Tamidim after the Shia was over that they were still supporting. They Karu Nashayan, they said about themselves, either it was Abaya, or it was Rapapa, or Ravashi, they said about themselves, Yasme, the Yasme. If Rabba and Rav Yosef call themselves orphans with 400 Tamidim, how much we more so are orphans of orphans when we only have 200 Tamidim that we're left supporting. Matic Mark continues and says, Amr Yitzchak by Redifa, Amr Ravami, Rav Yitzchak by Redifa said, Amr Ravami, Mivakre Mumim Shebiushalayim, those people that were responsible for looking at the animals to make sure that they didn't have a mum before people would bring them as a carbon. So those people would go and be paid Hayunotlin Sukharim Mitruma Salishka. Since we talked yesterday about a judge being allowed to take money for his lack of being employed at a regular job, so we learned today about how other people would be entitled to take money to go and do various avodas hakodesh. So these people that would go check out the blemishes in the animals to make sure that they didn't have blemishes when they were brought to the Beis HaMikdash to be used as sacrifices, so they would get paid, they would receive their schar, their salary, mitrumas halishka, from the funds that were put into the lishka. As we mentioned many times already previously, what they used to do was that they had the collection of the machzis shekel for each fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash. They were collected in Adar for the upcoming fiscal year, which went from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the end of the subsequent Adar. And these funds were used to purchase korbanos for the tzibur, and they were also used for various other acceptable things. And in addition, what we have is the mosar trumas halishka. So when they would go and take out the three times during the year, they would go remove some of the matzah shekel from the Beis HaMikdash. So sometimes it would be left over after they had used up whatever they needed for from that trumas halishka. So there was something called mosar trumas halishka, and that's what we're referring to here. Tosus on Kuf Vav Amud Beis explains that there are certain things here that are actually from the trumas halishka, but most of them is from the mosar trumas halishka. And then there's something called shiare lishka. That's after the fiscal year is over, any money that was left inside the trumas halishka area, so that was used for other types of support. Not for korbanos. The korbanos have to be purchased from that year's fiscal year shkolim. Okay, so in any event, so Rav Yitzchak bar Rediva said to Ravami that they would pay the Mevakre Mumim from the Mosar Trumas Halishka. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Tamidei Chachamim Hamalamdim Hilchu Shchita LeKohanim. Those Tamidei Chachamim that taught the Kohanim had to do Shchita. The Kohanim had to do a lot of Shchita in the Beis HaMikdash. Technically, a non-Kohen could do the Shchita. However, the minhag was that the Kohanim did the Shchita. So these people that taught the Kohanim how to do Shchita properly, Hainotim Schar Mitrumas Halishka. They would take their Schar also from this Trumas Halishka, which is really the Moser Trumas Halishka. Tosu says, in Dibra Maskel, Malamdin Hilchos Kmitza, she says, Ay, Vahod, the Lochoshi Hilchos Malika. Why does it teach us Malika? It's going to teach us Shchita now. In a moment, it's going to teach us Kmitza. She says, because included in the teaching them of Shchita, Shebechlal Hilchos Shchita was Malika. Malika was when they used the right thumb, the nail of the right thumb, to do the Shchita of the birds. They did this in a different way. They did it from the back, and they used their fingernail on the right thumb, and they didn't use a knife. So these people that taught the Kohanim how to do Shchita, they also taught them about Malika. And they were paid from this Moser Trumas Halishka. Similarly, Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav, Rav Gidl said, Amar Rav, Tamid Yechom Lam Nehuchus Kmitza LeKohanim, those that taught the Kohanim how to do the Kmitza. The Kmitza was an essential part of the avoda of a korban mincha. Certain types of korban mincha required kmitza. So if Yisrael brought a korban mincha, it required kmitza. The kmitza was a certain way that they took off a handful. They didn't take a full handful. It was really the middle three fingers that they would dip into the flour, and they would remove that, and that would be sacrificed in the mizbeach, and the rest was the shari mincha were able to be eaten by the kohanim, the pirchei kohuna. So the tamid chachamim who taught the kohanim how to do kmitza, they were also paid from this mozart Truma Salishka. Note in Scharan, the Truma Salishka. They were also paid from the Truma Salishka. Now, by the way, Tosus points out, in Dibra Maslam of Akre Mumin, says how you'll have to go and take money for going and checking out a Bukhar. So Tosus says that we learned elsewhere that you're not allowed to take money. I know Toschal Yos Ro Bukharos ain't shokhtin or so up him. You don't trust him. We don't allow such a person to declare that it was a mum. So Tosus explained, like I already said, that we're dealing over here with the regular kachim to make sure that they didn't have mumim and not a bukhar. Okay. Marketing says, Omer Rabba Barbarchan, Omer Yochanan, Rabba Barbarchan is sitting Rav Yochanan, Magie Svarim Shibishlaim. Those people that checked out the Svarim. Some suggest it's a Sifrei Torah, others suggest it's also other types of Svarim as well, to make sure they don't have mistakes in them. Because if you have a Sefer that has a mistake in it, that's something that you'd be over. Al Tishkon Bi'olecha Avla, as Rashi points out, Nira Maskel Magie Svarim. And therefore, the based, and so the people who were lazy about this, Ro based, and show you Miss Atzlin Badover, not everybody was careful about this, and if you have an incorrect Sefer in your house, it could Chas V'Shalom lead to incorrect practice of halacha. So therefore, Vivkiru Truma Salishka Lekach. So therefore, they designated some of the funds for the most of Truma Salishka to be used to pay these people to check out the Svarim. How you note in Svarim and Truma Salishka, and they were paid from the Truma Salishka, the most of Truma Salishka as well. Furthermore, on the Rav Nachman Amarav, Rav Nachman Amarav, Noshim Ha'orgos Ba'paroches, the women that would weave the paroches, there were various curtains of paroches in the Beis HaMikdash, so they also were paid, not only Scharim Mitruma Salishka, they were also paid for this Moser Truma Salishka, from the excess funds when they did Truma Salishka that were left over, that weren't needed for Korbanos, so they used those funds to pay the women who were weaving the paroches. We'll see in a moment where there were paroches in. However, Rav Nachman said, that's the opinion of Rav, my own personal opinion by Neomer, however, I say, May Kotche Bedekabais, the women who were weaving the parochas in, they were paid from Kotche Bedekabais, funds that were given for the Beis HaMikdash for maintenance and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, so that's what those women were paid from. And the reason for this, Rav Nachman says, is because Ho'el, parochas, tachas, binin asuyos. The parochas took the place of a wall, the Ama Traklin. So the first Beis HaMikdash wasn't this tall, so they had a wall separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kadoshim, as Rashi brings down, reminds us on the Gemara elsewhere, and the wall, since the Beis HaMikdash wasn't so tall, was able to be just an amah wide and was able to stand. But the second Beis HaMikdash, where the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash was much, much higher, so a wall that was only one amah wide would not have been able to stand. So therefore, they put two parochas in it. They couldn't extend the wall and make it wider because then some of it would have gone into either the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kedashim. So they just put up a paroches that was on both sides of this amah traksin. So they had a double parochas, one at the front, one at the back, so to say, of the area in between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, and these parochas are what we're talking about over here, that the women were weaving. So, the Braisa says, Meisvei, Noshim, Argos, parochas, the women that were weaving these parochas in, Ubeis Garmu, likewise, and the Beis Garmu, the house of Garmu, who was responsible for making the Lechem Apanim, Amaisa Lechem Apanim, they were the only ones that knew how to make the Lechem Apanim in a certain shape. The Gemara in the Nachos tells us there were two possible shapes. It was like a canoe, or it was like a teva prutza, a box that had only a front and a back, and didn't have sides to it. So again, the shape of the Lechem Apanim, the 12 showbreads that were made every week on Erev Shabbos, and were put up on the Mizbeach, fresh and hot, piping every Shabbos. So, and the old ones were removed, still fresh, piping hot. So only Beis Garmu knew how to make the Lechem Apanim in this shape without it crumbling. And likewise, the Beis Avtinas, this was the family of Avtinas, they were experts in making the Ketores, Al-Maisa Ketores. They knew what the Mali Oshin was, a certain spice, one of the 11 spices that was needed for the Ketores, and that it would allow the Ketores to go straight up and not go and dissipate. So only these families, the Beis Garmu knew how to make the Lechem Apanim, the Beis Avtinas knew how to make the Maisa Ketores, and the women that knew how to make the parochas in, so kulan hayu dolten schar mitruma salishka. The Braisa says, like Rav had said, like Rav Nachman had brought down the name of Rav, that they were paid for the truma salishka. So how could Rav say that they were paid from kachibedik abayis? So the Gemara says, no. no contradiction over here. Hasam b'devave. So we're referring there to different types of curtains. Those curtains is where the entrance is. Above it is a doorway, an entrance. So the curtains that were not part of the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash, they were used basically as a machitz of some sort between the inner area that was holier than the outer area that was separating from it. So they were allowed to go and be paid for from the Lishkas HaTruma, from the Moser Lishkas HaTruma. The Amar Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav is Rabbi Zeira said the name of Rav. Shlosha Soparoksani B'mikdash Sheni. There were 13 curtains in different places in the Bayi Sheni. Where were they? Shiva Kineged Shiva Sharp. So there were seven that were against the seven courtyards. There were three on the north, three on the south, and then one on the eastern side. There were other gates as well. And there's different opinions as to idea of where the Sharm were. But in any event, we'll leave it nice and simple straight now. So those were seven of the curtains. Echad the Piskel Shal Hechol. There was one curtain that was in front of the Hechol. The Echad the Piskel Shal Ulam. One was in front of the Ulam. The Ulam was the entranceway into the Hechol, which was then the entranceway into the Kodesh. So, and then you had the two curtains that we'll talk about in a moment that were the Amma Traxin. They were the Amma that was separating the Kodesh Kedoshim and the Kodesh. So there was a curtain at the beginning part as you entered, and then there was a curtain as you entered further in there that separated the Kodesh Kedoshim from the Amma Traxin. So therefore, these next four curtains, we just had seven curtains that were the Sharim. We had an eighth curtain for the Hechel, a ninth curtain for the Ulam, and then there were four more curtains, Shnayim Bedvir, two before the Kodesh Kedoshim. Bedvir is the inner sanctum, and Shnayim Kinegdom Baliyah. And then they had the two of the Amma Traxin that were 50 Amma tall. Then they had another two that were 50 Amma tall to the top height of the Beis HaMikdash, which was 100 Amma, and the second Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, these four curtains, they were the ones that were made from the Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, because that was considered part of the actual binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, because it took the place of a wall. The others were for tzniyas purposes, so they could be taken from the Trumas HaLishka. So therefore, the Braisa doesn't contradict Rav Nachman. Some curtains came from Moser Trumas HaLishka, and other curtains came, the two curtains that were really four, because there were two in the bottom 50 Amma, then two hanging from the 100 to the 50 Amma mark. So those four curtains, they came from Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, because they were like a structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Mark continues the Tanur Rabbanu the following brayso. Noshim hamigadlos b'neiim lapara. Masechta Parah is a fascinating masechta, and part of it tells us how they went about going and actually making the Parah Aduma. And since there is a kula that we'll see in a moment that they made by the Parah Aduma, so they made many, many, many stringencies in order that people shouldn't be lax in the Parah Aduma. Sukkis right now, and I'm dictating this, so it's very interesting that some suggest that in Chutz Laretz, one of the reasons why people are so makel and sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and Chutzlar is because the rabbi said, Yesuvi Yasvinan, however, Bruchi Lo Mivarchinan, that people sit in the sukkah but don't make a bracha. And most people who aren't Tamidei Chachamim don't understand this. And they say, listen, if we're sitting in the sukkah, not making a bracha, it can't be very, very important. So therefore, they take it very lightly, and a lot of people don't end up sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So a similar idea is brought down over here that we have, that the rabbi said that if we're going to make a kula by the Parah Aduma, people are going to be very lax with the Parah Aduma, when in fact they'd be very, very, very strict with the Parah Aduma, and therefore the rabbis made many, many chumras. One of them was this following understanding of how they would raise children in places where they couldn't physically have tumah. They were young children, so they couldn't have bodily discharged tumah, and they put them in a place that was bedrock, and they raised them in this bedrock area, so there was no tumas tahom, there were no buried bodies there that were unknown. So these children were 100% guaranteed to be tar. They didn't have a bodily discharge. They were too young to have tumas keri. And they likewise were never exposed to tumas tahom because they were on a bedrock. They were on solid rocks, so nobody was buried underneath there and had been forgotten about. So that's what the Braisa tells us. And the Mishnayos and Parah expand on this greatly. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Noshim Abgadlos Bnei Lepara, those women that would give birth to their children in this place, so the children were never metame, a tumah that couldn't be taken care of. Hayunotlos Sacharim Mitrumas Alishka. So they were paid from the Trumas Alishka, from the Moser Trumas Alishka, to go and live there and be supported over there so that the children would eventually be able to go and work on bringing the water from the source of the Mayim Chayim that were required for this to make the Mei Chattas. And these women were paid from the Moser Trumas HaLishka. However, Abba Shaul disagreed. Abba Shaul Omer, he says, no, it wasn't for Moshe Trumas Lishka, it was Nashim Yikaru Shem Yerushalayim. The Nashim Yikaru, actually, these are the Ashiros, the very wealthy women who live in Yerushalayim. They personally took upon themselves the responsibility, Yizonos Oson and Rafanis Oson. They would go and support them and take care of these women and their children. Rashi says, Mefarisos means Bilavush Vilsus. They would give them clothing and appropriate pillows and blankets. And in addition, they would be zonas them. They would go and feed them. So they gave them all the support that they needed. Now, that's a machlokes between the Tanakhama, this Bryce, and Abba Shaul as to who supported those women. Boy, Minei Rav Huna, Mi Rav. Rav Huna asked Rav the following shalom, return to Kuvavo Mibbeis, Klei Shareis. If you want to use Klei Shareis on the Adam is Beyach, so where did that funding for making these Klei Shareis come from? Ma'u Shiyosa, Mikotchi Bedek HaBayis. Can you use Bedek HaBayis funds for that? One might have thought that this is serving the Adam Mizbeach. The Adam Mizbeach is made out of stone, and therefore it's considered a binyan, and therefore the Adam Mizbeach is supported by Kochi Bedek HaBayis. So one might think that the Klei Shareis is also supported by the funds that were designated for Bedek HaBayis. You can't switch around funds in the Beis HaMikdash. If they were sanctified for a certain usage, you had to use it for that usage. So Rav Huna was asking Rav, in this situation, do we say the Klei Shareis for the Adam Mizbeach should come from Kochi Bedek HaBayis, because the Mizbeach is Bedek HaBayis? As the Gemara says, Tzorech Mizbeach Ninu, it's a need for the Mizbeach, Umikotchi Bedek HaBayis Asu, and therefore it should be coming from Bedek HaBayis to support the Mizbeach. The Klei Shareis support the Mizbeach. Or do we say, no, O Tzorech Karbon Ninu, why are we using the Klei Shareis? We're using it to support the Karbanos, and therefore the Karbanos come Mitrumas Alishka, not here from Moser Trumas Alishka, this is the Trumas Alishka, Mitrumas Alishka, you also know, son. So all the Karbanos were purchased on behalf of Klei Yisrael for the Trumas Alishka. So where did the Klei Shareis come from? Either Bedek HaBayis Rafuna asks, or from Trumas Alishka. So Rav tells him, Amalei, Rav answers Rav Huna, and he says, Ein Asin Elevi Trumas Alishka. You have to yake the Klei Shareis from Trumas Alishka. But Rav Huna questions as he says, wait, there's a pasuk in Divrei Yamin that says otherwise. Esvei, he asks Rav, it says in Divrei Yamin, Uchechalosam, at the conclusion, when Yoash and Yoyada the Kohen Gadol completed finishing up, fixing up the Beis HaMikdash, Uchalosa, when that was done, Heviul Lifnei HaMelech, the Yodada. Now we have the word HaKohen, but that's not in the pasuk. So they brought in front of the Melech Yoash and Yoyada, who was the Kohen Gadol, Eshara Kesef, all the extra funds that were left over. And what do they do with them? Vayasehu Kalim, Leveis Hashem, Klei Shareis for Gomer. So they made them into Klei Shareis. Now, this is where Rav Huna questions Rav. You said that the Klei Shareis can't come from Bedek HaBayis, they must come from Trumas Alishka, but the pasuk in Divrei Yamin says they clearly came from Bedek HaBayis, the money that they collected to fix up the Beis HaMikdash. When they finished fixing up the Beis HaMikdash, they then used the excess funds for Klei Shareis, Kasha New Rav. Rav tells Rav Huna, Amalei, Da Akaryoch Kisuve, Lo Akaryoch Nvi. The one that taught you Divrei Yamin taught you Ksuvim, right? Divrei Yamin is part of Ksuvim, he didn't teach you Navi. You missed the pasuk from Melachim Beis. It says in Melachim Beis, "Ach lo yeyase beis Hashem sipos v'gomer." Now the v'gomer over here is important. It says, "Ach lo yeyase beis Hashem sipos kesef mizamros mizrokos chatzotzros kol klizov uchli kesef min hakesef mo beis Hashem." You're not allowed to go and take the money that was brought for the Bedek HaBayis and use it to make Klei Shareis, all of these various Klei Shareis that I just mentioned. And likewise, the pasuk continues, and it says, "Kilo osei amalacha yitnu v'chizku bo'etz beis Hashem." You're only allowed to use that for Bedek HaBayis. So Rav says the pasuk in Melachim Beis clearly is in support with what I said, and you're bringing us a pasuk from the Reyon of Kinsuvim that isn't going to be supported by my pasuk from Melachim Beis. Nudimor says, "Okay, but it's a stira." Maybe Rav Huna didn't know this pasuk in Melachim Beis, but there's a stira between Melachim Beis and Divrei Yom, how could that be? The psukim seem to contradict each other. One says, no, there's no contradiction. Lo kasha. Why? Because kan shagavu v'siru. In the situation in Divrei Yomim, they had collected so much extra money, so they had, Baruch Hashem, money left over, and they could use that for Klei Shareis. However, here in Melachim Beis, kan shagavu v'lo hosiru. They collected just enough money, they didn't have any extra money, so therefore they couldn't use it for Klei Shareis. They had to use all the money they had for Bedek HaBayis. Agmar says, how could they use the money if it was sanctified for Bedek HaBayis? How could they use it for Kli Sharis? How does that help us to say that we have extra money? Let's use it for something else. So Gemara says, that's not a problem. Amar Rabbi Yavo, Lev based in Masnelem. We find this teretz many times in Shas, that based in can go and say that we're doing this appeal, we're doing this collection for this purpose. But if there's extra money left over, so it's built into the collection that will be used for something else. So that's what happened over here. They collected the money for Bedek HaBayis. However, it was based upon the Tanai. Im hutzruchu hutzruchu. If they need it for Bedek HaBayis, it will all be used for Bedek HaBayis. If you lie, but if there's extra money left over that's not even for Bedek HaBayis, you look clay sharis. You'll have to go and use it for clay sharis. Gemara continues and brings a brisa in support of what Rav's opinion was, that the clay sharis came from Mosar Trumas Halishka. Tanavi Rabbi Shmuel, you learn the base of Rabbi Shmuel. Kli Sharis, boy me Trumas Halishka. He said, beferish like Rab, that the Kli Sharis came from the monies from Trumas Halishka, from funds that were originally from Trumas Halishka. Where does he know this from? Shenamar, as the Pasuk tells us, this is a Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that we discussed earlier, where it says, Es Shar HaKesef. This was the beginning part of the Pasuk, Chalosam Hevil Ne'amel V'Yoyoda. Es shar hakesef, the extra money. Now, what does it mean, extra money? Ezu kesef sheyesh lo shirayim. What is meaning extra money? Is leftover money. And the omer is that Trumas Halishka was left over from the Trumas Halishka. They took out the Trumas Halishka for the kabanos, and then anything that was left over, not needed, they used for this. Gemara says, maybe it means ve'emor shirayim gufayu. Maybe it's referring to the shirayim itself. And so Rashi says, Dibra Maskel ve'emor shirayim gufayu, me shiyarim hanosarim belishka. Maybe it's talking about the shiyare. Lishka Satruma. That's the money that was left over inside the Lishka at the end of the fiscal year. That's different than the Mosar Trumas Halishka. As I pointed out, the Mosar was what they took out in the Trumas Halishka and anything that wasn't used, so that was Mosar Trumas Halishka. But the stuff that never got taken out at the end of the fiscal year, that was called Shiare Lishka. So maybe this is referring to as Shiare Kesef is referring to the Shiarim and not the Mosar. So this is, as Rashi says, Hanosarim Belishka, Klei Sharis Boyim, and only comes from the Shiare Halishka, Velo Minat Truma Atzma, and not from the Mosar Trumas Halishka. Maybe that's the way the Pasuk should be understood. Shmuel says, no. Kedama Rava. As Rava said, the Pasuk tells us, Ha Ola, we darshin out, Ubiar Ola, Kohen Eitzim, Abokir, Abokir, Abiyarach Oleo, Ha Ola. So we make this drush of Ha Ola. That tells us Ola Rishonim, which means the first Ola of the day, meaning the carbon tomid that's brought in the morning. So to over here, Ha Chanami, it says Hakes, it's a short Hakes, it's a proper the definitive article the. So therefore, it teaches us which Kesef. Hakesef means over here, Kesef Rishonim, meant the Trumas Halishka. So therefore, it's talking about the Moser Trumas Halishka, not the Shiare Trumas Halishka. Again, one more time, just to make sure everybody's clear. They did the Trumas Halishka three times during the year when they needed money to take out for Kabanos. Any money that wasn't used in that Trumas Halishka was called the Mosar Trumas Halishka. And then any money that was left behind after they did the three times the Trumas Halishka during the year, any money that was still left behind from that year's fiscal year, so that's called Shiare Lishka. And there, that's used for a different purpose than the Mosar Lishka. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Meisvei, we got a kasha on Rav. It says, HaKetores v'chol korbanos tzibor, the Ketores, the incense that was brought every day by the Kohen Gadol in the morning and the evening. And all the korbanos tzibor, they certainly came by Mitrumas Halishka. That's exactly what the basic Matzah Shekel was collected for the support of all the korbanos tzibor and all of the things like the Ketores. So that certainly came from the Trumas Halishka funds. Mizbeach HaZov, the inner Mizbeach, the Mizbeach that was inside the Heichal, known as the golden Mizbeach, the outer Mizbeach was made out of stone and it had a copper plating, so it's known as the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. The inner Mizbeach was made out of gold, it was known as the Mizbeach HaZov, and as well the Lavona, the frankincense, was put on various carbon mincha, as well as the Lechem upon him, Uchlei Sharis, and the other clay Sharis. These all came, Boyin, Mimosar Nisachim. They came from the excess Nisachim funds. We'll see in a moment that they would sell various types of wine and oil and flour and for people who needed to bring their own personal korbanos and the extra revenue that they made from that. So that's what paid for the Mizbeach Hazov, Lavona, and the Klisharis. Mizbeach Ha'ola, that's the outer Mizbeach, the copper Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, that Mizbeach and Halishkos in the support of all the offices around the Azara, the Azaras and the Azaras themselves. So these were all supported by Mikotchi Bedek HaBayis. They were supported from the funds that were collected for Bedek HaBayis, for the maintenance and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. One exception, Chutz L'chol Ma'aso Azara, the wall around the Azara, that came from Boim Mishiori Halishkos. That came from the money that was left behind after the three Trumas Halishkos were done, and the fiscal year was over, and they didn't need those funds anymore. They couldn't be used for next year's Korbanos. So this is called the Shiare Halishka. So this was used for the support of the Choma of the Azara. Now, Zui Shoshaninu, this is different than what we learned in the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Shkolim where it said, Choma Seir, in this Mishnah in Shkolim, it says that the wall of the city, Umigdalosel, and the towers, V'chol Tzor Chayir, and all the needs of Yerushalayim, which was a place where you could eat, Kodshei Kalim, these came by Mishiori Elishka. These were supported from the Shiori Elishka. So the additional thing that we learn in Shkolim, I'm not sure it's a machlokes, but the brice that we just brought down only said that the choma of the Azara, and in this Mishnah in Shkolim, again, I'm not sure that the brice disagrees with it, so the Mishnah in Shkolim says that not only was the choma of the year, but also the towers, the Migdolosel, and the Tzor Chayir, and any other needs that the city walls had, or Yerushalayim needed, so this came from the Shiori Halishka. So here's the kash on Rab. Rav had said that the klisharis came from the Mosar Trumas Halishka, but here it said that the klisharis came from the Mosar of the Nesachim. So Gemara says Tanoihi. This is Machlokas Tanoihi. Now, Rav already had Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, that agreed with him, and here we expand on that and show that this is Machlokas Tanoihi. Tanoihi, Ditnan. Mosar Truma, the excess funds of the Trumas Halishka. So the Mishnah here in Shkolim tells us that the Moser Truma Meriosim Bo, what do they use for these? What do they use these funds for from the Moser Truma Salishka? So it says Rikue Zohav. They used to go and plate the Kodesh Kadoshim with golden plating. Rikue Zohav Tzipui LeBeis Kodesh Kadoshim. So that's what they use these funds for. But Rabbi Shmuel Omer, oh, this is like Rav. Rabbi Shmuel says no. The Moser Peros Leketz HaMizbeach. Moser Truma L'Kli Sharis. He says that the Moser Peros, the extra money that they had from selling various types of Peros, which we'll explain in a moment, that went for Korbanos when the Mizbeach was quiet. What's called Leketz HaMizbeach, like the dessert for the Mizbeach. The Ketz is literally like dried figs that you would have for dessert. So therefore, when the Mizbeach didn't have anything else going on, it's not nice that it should be inactive. So they used these funds for the Moser Peros to go purchase Korbanos for the Ketz HaMizbeach. As opposed to the Moser Truma Salishka, the Moser Truma, that, like Rav said, like Rabbi Shmuel said, was for the Kli Sharis. Fine. We also have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Moser Truma, the Moser Truma Salishka, that went Leketz HaMizbeach. He disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel, and he says, no, that's what they used for the times when the Beis HaMikdash wasn't busy, so they purchased Korbanos to put up on the mask, on the Mizbeach, well, the Ketz HaMizbeach, that they used the Moser Truma for. And the Moser Nesachim, the extra funds that they had from selling the Nesachim, that was used for the Klei Sharis. So he disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel and Rav. And finally, we have the opinion of Rabbi Chanina Skanako Adam. He said, Omer, his opinion, Rabbi Chanina Skanako Adam, was that the Moser Nesachim was the Ketz HaMizbeach, but the Moser Truma, the excess from the Truma Salishka, that was Klei Sharis, like Rabbi Shmuel and like Rav. But both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Skanako Adam didn't have anything about Moser Peros. What are the Moser Peros? If they don't agree that there was Moser Peros, so what's the Smachlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Skanako Adam? So Peros Mahi, what exactly are you referring to? The Tanyas, we learn in another Brisa, that the Moser Truma, the excess funds that were from the Truma Salishka, Meyos, but the Brisa says, what do they do with it? Lochim peros bezol. They would buy fruit at a very low price, bezol, inexpensive price, and then they would sell it. Umochim so biyoker, and they would sell it for a high price to make a profit for the Beis HaMikdash. And what do they do with this profit? Va'asachar, and this profit that they made, mekitzim bosim mizbeach. That's what they use for the Ketz HaMizbeach. So Rabbi Shmuel holds that they were in the fruit selling business, and therefore that's what he says the Moser peros were used for. But Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Skanako Adam didn't hold that the Beis HaMikdash was in the fruit selling business. V'zui Shoshaninu, and this is what we learned where it says Moser Peros Leketz HaMizbeach. This is the opinion that says that Rabbi Shmuel brought down Moser Peros off Leketz HaMizbeach. Now, what does it mean? Ma'i zeh v'zeh lo yumodim b'peros. When we just said that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Skanako Adam didn't agree with Rabbi Shmuel, so that's referring to the Tanan. That's the following Mishnah also from Shkolim. It said there that Moser Shiori Lishka, the excess funds that were left behind after the three Trumas Halishka from that fiscal year that couldn't be used for any purchasing for additional korbanos because you're not in that fiscal year anymore. So the Moser Shiari Halishka, those funds that were Shiari Halishka, so those funds, what do they do with them? So the Mishnah in Shkalim tells us, Lochaben Yenos Shman Muslasos. They would go and purchase wine and oils and flour for the people that needed them for the Beis HaMikdash, and the profit that they would make from them, Vasachar LeHekdish, that would go towards Hekdish. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Whereas Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Emis Stakrin Bishal Kaktish. Beis Din is not in the business world. They don't go do business over here with these funds. Aflo Bishal Aniyim. And likewise, Rabbi Kiva adds, we also, when you're responsible for the funds for the Aniyim, you don't go do business with them. Why not? Bishal Hektish, my time alone, why shouldn't the Beis HaMikdash be in the business world? Why not make a couple of extra bucks and then be able to adorn the Beis HaMikdash in a better way? So the Gemara says, Ein Aniyas B'Mokum Hashiras. A person who has to scrounge for a couple of extra bucks is not a wealthy person. However, the Beis HaMikdash is a wealthy place. And in a Mokum of Ashiras, the Beis HaMikdash, we don't try to make a couple of extra bucks. So Rabbi Kiva was against us going into the business of selling fruit, selling these peros, the wines, the oils, and the flour. And why not for Aniyim? B'shal Aniyim, my time alone, why don't we go into business for the Aniyim to help them out? So Demora says, because Dilma Misrami Lu Ananya, V'leika L'misvalei. You know what? A poor person is going to come and say, listen, I'm starving. I need some help. And they can say, sorry, all of our assets are tied up. Come back in a couple of months when we sell our stock, when we sell and we make a great profit, then we'll be able to help you. No. Again, the funds for the poor people are supposed to be used by the poor people. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva said, don't go do business with the funds for the poor people. Yes, you could possibly help them out. But there's an excellent chance that you won't be able to help them out when they're in need because all your funds are tied up. They're not liquid. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, in the Beis HaMikdash, they don't go and do business, and therefore there's no such thing as Moser Peros, and that's why he disagreed with Rabbi Yishmael. With this, we conclude today's shiur.